Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Amen. Well, I wanted to title my message this morning, As the World Turns, but I thought maybe CBS Television might decide to sue me if I used that name, since they used it for, I don't know, 50, 60 years on one of their soap operas. They might not like it if I used it. So I changed today's message to As the World Spins. And it seems like the world that we're living in today is really, it's becoming crazier and more evil every day. Yet it seems to continue to spin on in some people's minds in its own merry little way. Some people seem to be just oblivious to the things that are going on around them. They really are in it. They're all wrapped up in themselves. And we see that really every day. You go out on the highway, you'll see it. People out there in their cars, the only people they're concerned about is me and how I can get there. It doesn't matter about the traffic laws. It doesn't matter about somebody else out there. Just get out of my way and let me go. You know? And we have really kind of gotten into it. It's been this way for a number of years, the me generation. All we think about is me and how it affects our own little lives. And the rest of the world can spin on around us and do whatever it wants to do as long as I'm happy. Well, the world is going through a lot of things right now. And of course, we're just really less than 2 weeks away from celebrating one of the important holidays of the Christian faith, and that's Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Christ. And a lot of people would think, well, Pastor, you should be preaching one of these happy, joyous type messages today where everything is peace, love, and joy. And sometimes I can't preach that, you know, because I have to preach what God gives me to preach. So unfortunately, some of the stories that I'm going to share with you this morning, things that have happened in this past week will just show you just how sick our world has become as it continues to spin on its merry way. Just a few days ago in Florida, a city council meeting opened with an invocation to Satan and Allah. Fortunately, the mayor and some of the commissioners had the guts and fortitude to stand up and walk out. Now, they did return when the Pledge of Allegiance was given, but they walked out on this. And you see, it had come to the point that whoever invited this person, it was a Miami anti-theist by the name of Preston Smith, to give the invocation. And in the story I read, it called it an utterly moronic invocation, if you can even call it that. And through this invocation, he mentions Satan. He mentions Allah, he mentions Buddha, he mentions Zeus, he mentions Jesus. He compares something that the Apostle Paul wrote to Thor, and he just went all over the spectrum. And I remember hearing this story, you know, and this was back during the Vietnam era, and soldiers about the one soldier that went into battle, and they noticed he was wearing a crucifix. He was wearing a Star of David, and he had a rabbit's foot, and he had something else. And somebody asked him, well, why have you got all that? And he said, because I'm not taking any chances. And some people are like that. And this is kind of what this guy was doing. He was actually trying to make fun of, and not only blaspheme Christianity, but I guess all these other religions as well. But basically his message was, we are to do goodness for goodness' sakes, and we don't want to hear about damnation and judgment. And that's really a lot the way the world has become today. That's the way some churches have become today. We do not preach that there is a price to pay. Somebody wrote, you're free to make your own choices, but you also have to pay the consequences of the choices you make. And a lot of people like that first part, but they want to leave that last part out. Oh, I can make my choices, I can do whatever, and there will be no consequences. But your actions have consequences. There's a price to pay for everything you do in one way or another. Sometimes it's a good payment, sometimes it's a bad payment. But there are things involved in what you do. He went on to continue his invocation with, "May the efforts of this council blend the blessings of Allah with the all-knowing wisdom of Satan." He continued, "May Zeus, the great God of justice, grant us strength tonight. Jesus might forgive our shortcomings while Buddha enlightens us through his divine affection." Well, if you want to read the whole story, you can find it on the web. But this is kind of the way the world is coming to today. You know, some people I think have kind of been critical of me because I have said when they kicked prayer out of schools, I was all for putting prayer back into schools. But for the last 10 years, I've been against it. Because you see what it is coming to. Because if we put it back in schools, they're doing it anyway. You'll be praying, they'll be praying to Allah, they'll be praying to somebody else, they'll be praying to somebody else. They will not be praying to Yahweh God. They'll be praying to some strange God. And I got news for you, in some parts of the world today, right now, here in the United States even, that's what they're doing. They're praying to a strange God. Another thing that happened this week, and I'm really concerned about our kids that are in the school system today. Mary and I were fortunate. We were able to send our girls to private school for most of their education. And they got a good, solid Christian education. By the time they had to go back into public schools, they were grounded in their Christian education. But here's what a public school is teaching, and this is in California, by the way. A public school is teaching to 13-year-olds, you can have sex and choose your gender. It's the parents of students at Alcalanes High School in Lafayette, California, are not happy about it. At least most of them are not. In fact, some of them are downright disturbed by what they recently learned about their children's sex education curriculum and teachers. And it seems that Planned Parenthood has been brought in to teach them this. So you can really do whatever you want to do, you know. You can be whatever sex you want to be. It's all okay. There are a lot of other things going on within our public education system today that's downright disgusting as to what is happening and being taught to our children. And the last thing I'm going to bring out from the news here today, and I just saw something about this morning on the news, 19-year-old Jessica Chambers had left her home to clean her car and grab something to eat. Later, her vehicle was found engulfed in flames, and when the fire department got there, she was walking down the road on fire. The only part of her body that wasn't burned was the bottom of her feet. They squirted lighter fluid down her throat and in her nose and apparently knocked her out. Her funeral, I believe, was yesterday, and according to what I read, there were hundreds and hundreds of people turned up for the funeral. She was able to tell them something before she died, and the evidence is, or the statements are, that I believe that she identified whoever it was that did this. But this is the sickness of the world is today. You're not even safe to go out and get something to eat sometimes because there's demonically inspired and possessed people out there that will do what they want to do because they think they're doing it for the thrill of it, for the joy of it, for the satisfaction of it, with no conscience, it seems like, to stop them and keep them from even feeling sorry for what they've done. I said that was the last story. One other thing I do want to mention is I read another story too, and I think somebody alluded to it maybe in Bible study Wednesday night, possibly. But I just read an article, heard the article, in another part of the world where Christian children were given the choice, convert to Islam or be beheaded. Christian children chose not to convert, and they were beheaded. Makes me wonder, would our kids here in quote-unquote Christian America, would they have the courage and the strength when somebody says, convert or I'm going to cut your head off, would they have the strength and the courage to say, I love Jesus. Do what you got to do. I love Jesus. I'm afraid a lot of them wouldn't. That's what the world is coming to. Revelation 12:12 says, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. This is in the Revelation, in the book of Revelation, has to do with the end times, has to do with the tribulation period. But the devil has come down and he knows his time is short. He knows his days are numbered and he is going to wreak havoc on the earth. He is going to try to destroy as many Christians and as many people as he thinks might possibly become Christians as he possibly can. You know what? If you're out serving the devil, you're out giving him his due, you're out making him happy, he's not going to mess with you that much. Although you find out that most of those people who turn their life over to Satan, they don't live very long. Most of them don't live to a ripe old age. But if you're out and there's a possibility that you might want to serve God, he's against you. If you are serving God, he is definitely against you. And he will do whatever he can to try to destroy you. And it's getting worse. Oh, this is Christmas time, preacher. You're supposed to be preaching a message of love and peace and joy. I am telling you a message of love, peace, and joy because I care about you and I want you to know the devil is after you and he wants to destroy you. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13 says, Dearly beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is among you to prove you as though some strange thing were come unto you. For rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall appear, you may be glad and rejoice. He tells us when we start to go through these things that we as Christians are to rejoice. Yes, I'm sad. I'm sorrowful that these things are going on in the world. I'm sorrowful that that 19-year-old girl got burned to death. I'm sorrowful that those kids got their heads cut off. I'm sorrowful that some of those things happened. But I also rejoice because I know that I am in the hands of Almighty God and He is in charge of my life and He will take care of me. No matter what comes against me, no matter what the enemy throws at me, He will take care of me. So I rejoice in that I am in God's hands. Jesus, in speaking to His disciples in Luke chapter 21, and if you read that chapter, He's foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem. But He also goes ahead and talks about things that are yet to come. Things that we're seeing coming to pass in our lifetime. And He says in Luke 21:24, And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, let's clarify something there. Who are the Gentiles? Y'all know who that is, don't you? You're a Gentile. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Simple as that. But the time of the Gentiles is about to be fulfilled. We are living in those days when Jesus was talking about that these things would come to pass. The kingdom of God, as He was talking about, is at hand. And He is coming back for us someday in the very near future. Jesus described these horrific events that would take place not only in their lifetime and in their future, but some of the present and future things. Because He goes on to state in Luke 21:28, And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. As we see what the enemy is doing out there, where he is destroying people who are Christians. Our Christian brothers and sisters around the world are facing great persecution today. They are putting their lives at risk if they get up and go to church. They're putting their life at risk if they give testimony of Jesus Christ. If they do anything that appears to be Christian, they're putting their life at risk. But the Bible tells us to lift up our heads and to rejoice because our redemption draweth nigh. We know the time is at hand. How long is that time that it's going to be at hand? I don't know. And you can hear all kinds of Bible prophecy teachers on radio and television, read about them, whatever, and they may give you different things. But none of us really know how long it is. The Bible tells us God the Father knows. But we can also know that we are at hand. Whether it be today, tomorrow, or several years from now, I don't know. No one knows. But we are to rejoice. Paul, writing in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the so-called Hall of Faith chapter, writes about Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "For he looked for a city having a foundation whose builder and maker is God." Let's think about Abraham a minute. Here he is living in Ur of the Chaldees. From what I've read, seemed like a pretty nice place. God speaks to him, says, "I want you to go, get out of this place, go to a place that I'm going to lead you to. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. You'll know when you get there." Wouldn't you hate to start out on a trip like that? Get in a car and go, and you'll know when you get there. You know? But Abraham packed up his wife, what possessions he was going to take with him, straddled their camels or whatever it was, and went on their way. Didn't have Google Maps. I used to talk about the auto club. He couldn't go to the auto club to get maps. Now I got to say he couldn't get Google Maps because everybody uses GPSs, and he didn't have a GPS. But they left. And they headed out. He was looking for a place, a city whose builder and maker was God. Guess what? He didn't find it here on planet Earth, but he's found it now. We are still looking for that city as Christians, that city whose builder and maker is God. Paul goes on to write in 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17, "For this say we unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which live and are remaining in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then shall we which live and remain be caught up with them also in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Rejoice, because that city we're searching for is at hand. And he says one of these days that trumpet is going to sound and we are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. We aren't going to need a GPS. We are not going to need a AAA road map. We've got Jesus coming for us, and he's going to get us there post-haste. That day is coming. The Apostle John goes on to write in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." Ah, we're on our way to that new Jerusalem. We haven't got there yet, but our journey is bringing us closer every day to that new Jerusalem. That city whose builder and maker is God. That city that Abraham was searching for. We're on our way if we're a Christian. And we're going to be getting there someday. Well, if you want a message of love, happiness, peace, and joy, I also have some good news for you as well in that area. Because if you're a child of God, and by that I mean you're born again into the kingdom of God, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're following Him with all of your heart, you're doing your best to live for Him, and you're doing everything that He commands you to do, guess what? You have a glorious future that awaits you. Now, that doesn't mean the future that you face an hour from now might be glorious, because something bad could happen. That's a possibility. I hope not. But realistically, it could happen. We requested had a prayer request here, and a friend of ours in California, he was on the phone with his daughter on Thanksgiving night as her and her husband were driving home from wherever it was they were at, and he's talking to her, and suddenly he hears her scream, and the phone goes dead. Another vehicle crossed over the lane, hit them head on at possibly 70 miles an hour. They had to cut them out of the vehicle. That's not necessarily something any of us would want to look forward to. Things like that happen, though. But we still have a glorious future if we are a child of God, because someday we will go to dwell in His presence. And here's the key word of it: forever. Forever. Oh, we get some blessings from God here. We get excited about sometimes about some of the things we get from God. We get excited about some of the things we get from other people here. But you know what? Some of the things that we get here are going to pass away. Mm-hmm. They're going to fade away, or somebody will take them from you. Various things can happen to him. But we're going to a place where we will be with Him forever, and we'll experience His joy, His love, His peace, His glory forever. So we have a glorious future that awaits us. We may be living in a world right now that's spinning along, going crazier and crazier every day. Did you ever play that game? I don't know what it's called, but generally they take a baseball bat or something like that, and they have you bend over and put your head on the baseball bat on one end of it, the other end's on the ground, and they have you turn around like this several times, and then you're supposed to try to walk, and you know, you're lucky if you can not fall down on your face. Well, our world is kind of going like that right now. That's sometimes you look at and you think, that's what happened. You know, they've lost all common sense. In fact, probably all of you have seen it. There's a little thing that's been floating around the internet for some time now. It's a gravestone that says, the death of common sense. And it seems like that's all gone. But God can restore what the devil has taken away. He can bring blessings into our lives. Remember the story of Cinderella. How many of you know the story of Cinderella? Yeah, I think everybody here has heard the story of Cinderella before. The story of this young lady who had to put up with all this garbage and abuse that her wicked stepmother could dish out. You know, whatever the stepmother's daughters wanted, they got. Whatever Cinderella got, she had to give to the stepsisters. And I've actually seen people where that's happened, families where that's happened. Some of them it works well, but I've seen some where that's happened. She's going through all of this. It seems like she's slaving and toiling away just so that her stepsisters don't have to do anything. She's putting up with the torment that they give her, the fun that they make of her. It seems like she has a life in many ways that has no hope. But if you remember the story, the day comes at the conclusion that her prince shows up with a glass slipper in his hand. And no, it doesn't fit the foot of either of the stepsisters. But when she is finally brought down, the shoe perfectly fits her foot. And of course, as the stories go in fairy tales like that, they go on to live happily ever after. Well, our enemy is the devil, and he's been trying to make our lives as Christians miserable as much as he can. And if we let him, he will make our lives so miserable that we will want to die. He's trying to make us miserable enough that we don't want to serve God anymore. But that's what he's trying to do. He has done everything to dish it out to us. He's trying to become the God of our life. And he's making his followers miserable. Or his followers have made our lives miserable. But one day, our king, I want to stress that, our king, not a prince like it was in Cinderella, but our king is coming. And he knows our name. You see, the prince in the Cinderella story didn't know who he was looking for. All he had was a glass slipper, and he had to go around trying it on different people's feet to try to find them. But our king knows our name. And when he comes for us, he will call us by name. He knows us. And he's coming for us. Isaiah 61:10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself out with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He is coming for us. Rejoice! The world may be going crazy all around us. And it's going to get crazier. How do I know that? The Bible says it is. And you say, well, I don't know that I find the word crazy in there. Well, basically means the same thing. It's getting more evil every day. But our King is coming. Americans were enthralled, at least some were, in the last week or so as the future King of England and his wife were in the United States. Prince Harry. And they just, you know, people were flocking around to see them. But he's only an earthly future king. Our heavenly king will be king forever. Nobody's ever going to dethrone him. He's not going to pass away. He is king. And he's not king of some small little country somewhere. He's king of all, of everything. Those of us here that are Christians today, we have that king in our life. We have this glorious future to look forward to, even though the world is going nuts around us. But maybe some of you are listening to me today on the internet and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today is the day for you to ask him into your heart. Today is the day for you to say, Jesus, I want you to be king of my life. I want to have that glorious future. I want you living in my heart. And you know what? If you do that, He'll hear you. He'll come in, and you'll become part of His glorious kingdom. Father, today, I just ask that as this message goes out, Father, it touches not only those who are here in this place today, but those that hear it via the internet, Father. And Father, that lives would be touched and changed. We give you praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.